It's a great blessing to be here tonight. And I am so thankful for this privilege and opportunity. I desire your prayers. I want to tell Brother Marcus I really enjoyed what he had to say tonight. The lesson that he brought forth about the little maid. And I'm thankful that a lot of times things are done in the name of the Lord that are anonymous to the sight of a lot of people, but it's well known in God's sight. I think about a lot of times when we sang out of the Heavenly Highway hymn, "Where the Roses Never Fade," and Elsie and Jack and Jim, I believe that's, they weren't too interested in making sure that they had the copyright on that. And I believe that when we're not so worried about our own selves, that we can serve the Lord a lot better. So I thought about a verse of Scripture that was spoken about tonight. Brother Spicer brought to us Matthew 10, 18 through 20, and verse 20 tells us, "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you." And it's difficult for me sometimes to understand really where that the preaching stops and the teaching starts, or the teaching stops and the preaching starts. But I believe it's like this verse of Scripture that he brought to us tonight. "For it's not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And it's not any of us that preach, but it's the Spirit of the Lord that preaches in us, if there's any done. And it's not me or these other men that'll be teaching. But if there's any teaching done, it'll be the Spirit of the Lord that does that." So I desire your prayers tonight as we look into the book of Ruth for a lesson. I'd like to read just a couple of verses of Scripture to start our lesson tonight. To me, it seemed to be the center point of the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth has only four chapters, and it's filled with many things that the Lord has brought out to us, many of us here tonight, but there's still a lot of things in the book of Ruth that I'm sure the Lord hadn't revealed to me, and maybe you as well. But in the first chapter, and the 15th verse, as Ruth was coming back to Bethlehem, and Orpah and Ruth were being encouraged to go back to their people. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And whether thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Tonight, as we begin this year's winter Bible study here at Fairview Memorial, and I want to thank each one that is here tonight. Thankful for the teachers that we've seen with that we'll be following. Our focus this month is on women of faith. And certainly I believe that Ruth belongs in this category. However, there are many women of faith that comes to my mind, and that may come to yours. As we think about Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel, I think about Moses' sister Miriam. We can think, and some of these will be covered, Mary and Elizabeth. I think about a scripture that tells about a widow woman, that she was there in the temple, and all the great chests where people were throwing their great sums of money in. And this widow woman threw in two farthings, or two mites, which make a farthing, and just less than a penny. And the Lord said, this woman has given more than all, because she's given of all that she had. She's given of her living. And tonight, as we think about these women of faith, you may think about the woman at the well. You could go to the woman that had the issue of blood. But to whomever that you may think about tonight, there's probably a link that the Lord has blessed you with that makes it real in your life. And we think about Jesus. If you've been saved by the grace of God, and we think about the ark of safety. When we read about Noah, we think about Jesus. And there's a lot of different things that we could draw that parallel to. But it brings us to a spiritual truth that's close to us. And that's what tonight, as I think about women of faith, each one of us, we would have certain women of faith that's helped us to find the way. They've helped us in the way, and they've helped us on the way. Amen. And as I read about Ruth, I'm thankful for her, but I'm thankful for Naomi, as we get into this in just a few moments, about her faith that she had. Now, I'm thankful tonight that as my mind goes back to women of faith, that I must thank the Lord tonight for my wife that prayed for me when I was lost, that realized that I was deceived, and that when I think about women of faith, personally, I think about my wife. Now, she's not in the scripture. She's not recorded, even though her name is, but she is a great woman of faith in my eyes. And I'm sure there's somebody here tonight, and probably more than one, whether it's a mother, a grandmother, a sister, a companion, a wife that the Lord has blessed you with, there is a woman of faith that's in each one of our lives tonight. And I'm thankful and honored to be able to stand here tonight and teach just a little bit about Ruth. Ruth's name means friendship, and many times she proved herself worthy of her name. Boaz called her a virtuous woman, and according to Solomon, a virtuous woman is a crown unto her husband. Her price is far above rubies. Ruth was fiercely loyal and was an extremely hard worker. Matthew lists her name in the precious lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ruth is often referred to as Ruth the Moabitess. This was not intended to be a compliment. If you were a Moabitess, then that was an enemy of Israel. That was one that tonight, as I thought about how that this little maid that was taught about so well, the Assyrians looked down on Israel at that particular time. But as we bring this lesson tonight, Israel looked down on the Moabites. And there's a lot of things that Brother Spicer said tonight, that the little maid went by force, carried out into Syria. Ruth went of her own accord into Israel. There's one thing that they both had in common. As he said, they both knew they were in the will of the Lord. Amen. The maid wanted to help someone that she despised, Naaman. No doubt she had ill feelings towards him, but she wanted to help him. Ruth wanted to help someone she loved. Naomi was one that was unable to care for herself, and she wanted to help her. The maid wanted to go back home. She was a slave. Ruth wanted to leave her home and go into Israel, where that Naomi's people were, where her God was. So as we look at this tonight, we find that while this was not intended to be a compliment, to be called a Moabitess or a Moabite, Ruth's family heritage was shameful in the eyes of the Hebrews. The land of the Moabites, now called Jordan, was named after Moab. And you remember how that Lot escaped Sodom and Gomorrah, and you remember that he went up into the mountain of Zoar and dwelt there with his two daughters. The scriptures tell us that the name Moab means from father. Moab was an incestuous child of Lot and his elder daughter, of Lot's elder daughter. He was Lot's son and his grandson. Lot also had a son by his younger daughter. His name was Benami. Now they, if you remember, they had gotten Lot drunk and they had gotten together and they had planned this out that they could have, they didn't see any men in the future for them, and they wanted to have these children. And these that's where that Moab came from. The land of the Moabites was a land east of the Dead Sea. Moab and Lot's descendants lived there and were usually enemies of Israel. It was a small kingdom and not many livable places. On the western side was a rugged wall of steep slopes and cliffs that dropped thousands of feet into the Dead Sea. To the east was the Arabian Desert. They served idol gods in Moab. The chief god was Chemosh, and child sacrifices were offered to the god. Before the time of Ruth, we read where that Moses was in the land of Moab, under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah, where God allowed Moses to see the promised land before he died. Moses was buried in a valley in the land of Moab, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar in 586 BC destroyed Moab. With these few thoughts as a background study, we find that the author of Ruth is unknown. Many people think that it could have been Samuel. It was written about 1200 B.C. in the days when the judges ruled. It was really wedged in a time when the judges and the kings ruled. And it was a time that, for the most part, Israel sinned against God. But even in that particular time, there were people that were faithful. And there was a woman that was faithful. And there were women that were faithful. The Bible tells us that the time frame was probably about 10 or 12 years. That's probably about the length of this book. And it was a time when there was much idolatry and national chaos in Israel. And as we'll find out in just a minute, there was a famine in the land. And most people, Bible readers and people that study the scriptures, tend to agree that this is proof of Israel's disobedience and apostasy. The book of Ruth seems to be a quiet story of ordinary lives, just like yours and mine. But there are no unimportant or faceless people to God. Every one of us has an everlasting soul. Each one is precious and has his or her story to tell. While most of us live our normal lives, each has his or her personal testimony or blessing to tell the world if you've been saved by the grace of God. While many had forsaken in Israel, there were still some who remained true to the Lord. And as we look at our country today, as we look at this town today, as I look at the little community where I live, this all sounds very familiar to me. There are still some that's standing in the old-time way. There's still some preaching salvation by grace through faith, that it's everlasting, that it's eternal, that it's a heaven-sent, heartfelt, no-soul salvation, and that this is the church of the true and living God. Amen. That the Lord ordained to send the gospel out to a lost and dying world. So there are still some that are in this old-time way. There are only four chapters in the book, but most of us here tonight, we can think back to a lot of messages that we've heard that the Lord's inspired. I know that personally, I've heard people preach on the Kinsman Redeemer different times. I'm sure you have too. I've heard about people preaching about reaping after the great harvest. I've heard about those that would preach concerning Naomi's quotation of "Blessed be the Lord who has given us this kinsman redeemer." So tonight, as we look into the book of Ruth, I'd like to look in the first chapter. Elimelech, his wife Naomi, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left Bethlehem because of a famine in the land. They went to the country of Moab. Elimelech died, leaving Naomi and her two sons in Moab. Soon the sons took wives of the Moabite women. Mahlon married Ruth, and Chilion married Orpah. They dwell there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died. Naomi had lost her husband and two sons to death in a foreign land. She was left with only her two daughters-in-law. There were not many ways for a widow to survive in those days. Meanwhile, Naomi heard that the Lord had blessed his people with bread, and the famine was over in Israel. Naomi decided to return home to Bethlehem. She encouraged her daughters-in-law to return to their homes. They could marry again and have a family. Both Orpah and Ruth loved Naomi dearly. Orpah kissed Ruth and went back to her people, never to be heard from again. How many people do you know like that? They've been around godly people. And I think that Naomi was a great example of what Jesus preached when he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I believe that these daughters-in-law, they saw something in Naomi. And Orpah, she loved Naomi, but she kissed her, and we have no further record of her. I imagine that there's some of us here tonight that the Lord's placing people on our heart this very moment, of people that we've never heard from again. They've been in our services. They've been on the altar. They've been in our prayers, but we've never heard from them again. It's important that we work while it's day. For the Bible tells us night cometh when no man can work. Ruth had a loyalty and love for Naomi that words fail to describe. Ruth had said, as we read earlier, that wherever thou goest, I will go. Wherever thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy people and thy God my God. I have a somewhat familiar feeling with how Ruth felt. I remember when I was lost, I was in a seemingly right way, thought that everything was fine. But you know, when people began to pray for me, and I realized I didn't have what you have out there inside your heart tonight, I didn't have that time and place where the Lord had spoken peace. I didn't have that. All I had was just a carnal knowledge. But when I realized that there's something to this, there's something that makes the preachers preach louder, there's something that makes people testify, and there's something about people that makes them shout, and there's a great love that I can understand. I don't know all about it, but I can see that it's there. And it made me want to say, I want my people to be your people, and I want your God to be my God, and I want to go to where your people are. And I can understand how that Ruth left. She had to turn her back. It'd been much easier for Ruth just to go back to Moab. Been much easier for her. But she went where that Naomi went, and she wanted to know the God that Naomi knew. The scriptures tell us the two went to Bethlehem, and it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. The people of the city asked, "Is this Naomi?" Naomi told them not to call her Naomi, but to call her Mara, which meant bitter. "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me back empty." Sometimes we are, as in the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, when the prophet said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." As Naomi thought that all had been taken away from her, and that the Lord was angry with her, and that she was just in a bitter, downtrodden, distraught place. The Lord had other plans. And I think sometimes in our lives, we are completely mistaken. We may be 180 degrees from where that we think we are, because the Lord has something for us. As was already said tonight, that's when our faith takes hold. And we'll find out just a little bit later that Naomi played a great part in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Naomi, in chapter 2, had a kinsman of her family named Boaz. His name meant "in him is strength." He was a wealthy man. He also owned land that was to be harvested. In the 19th chapter of Leviticus, the law of Moses had provisions for the poor, the widows and orphans. The workers were not to harvest every last corner of their fields or vineyards, nor go back and pick up what had fallen during the reaping process. They were to be left for the poor and strangers. Boaz practiced this. It was no accident that Ruth went to glean in the field that belonged to Boaz. God's providential care over his people. I'm sure there's things that's happened this very day that you and I may have ignored, we might not have been aware of, or we might have laid it off to one happenstance or circumstance when the Lord was watching over us. There may have been some of us on the way to service tonight that if our car had just been in a different position, we might not be here tonight. If we got here, it's through God's providential care, I believe. I'm thankful for that. The Lord knew about Boaz's field. As she gathered what the reapers left behind, Boaz asked who she was. The servant said that she was the Moabitish woman who came home with Naomi. Boaz told her to glean only in his field, for he had heard about the undying love and loyalty Ruth had for Naomi. Boaz told his young men harvesting to let her glean among the sheaves and on purpose let handfuls fall for her gathering. She went home and told Naomi about gleaning in the field of Boaz. Naomi told Ruth that Boaz was near of kin to us, one of our next kinsmen. In the third chapter of Ruth, Ruth played the role of a matchmaker, you might say. Their customs were different back then than our customs are now. In fact, when you talk to some of the people that come in maybe from Ghana or different places around the world, we find that their customs are different, and some of them are very similar to this in the days of Ruth. Naomi had advice for Ruth, and after Boaz comes in from the threshing floor and he's finished eating and drinking, she was to watch where that he laid down. After he lies down, go in and uncover his feet and lay down. This Ruth did. When Boaz discovered Ruth at his feet, he said, "Who art thou?" She answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a kinsman." This was a type of ancient marriage proposal. It was a type of levirate marriage spoken of in Genesis 38 and the 25th chapter of Deuteronomy, meaning your husband's brother. That many times a man would die and his brother, according to the law of Moses, would be responsible for taking that widower in and raising up children. Boaz was willing to accept the proposal, but there was one of near kin that must be consulted first. In the fourth chapter of Ruth, the kinsman of Boaz spoke, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke soon appeared in the gate of the city where business was transacted. Boaz told him that Naomi was to sell Elimelech's parcel of land, and he told the near kinsman to redeem it if he would. If he chose not to, then Boaz would be next in line. At first, the near kinsman agreed to redeem the land and to take care of Naomi, but reconsidered when he was told that he must buy it of Ruth the Moabitess as well and raise up the name of the dead upon Mahlon's inheritance. This was done to carry on the name of the deceased. The near kinsman said, "I cannot, lest I mar mine own inheritance. I cannot redeem it." Acting upon this information, Boaz agreed to be the kinsman redeemer. We see Boaz as a type of Christ, a picture or shadow of Jesus, that in the fifth chapter of Revelation, the scriptures tell us that there was no man in heaven, in earth, or under the earth that was able to open the book and loosen the seals, that title deed book of man's lost inheritance. But the scripture went on and said, "Weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and to loosen the seals thereof." So there was in the book of Ruth, there was one that said, "I cannot." Boaz stepped up and he agreed to be the kinsman redeemer. Similar to a handshake agreement, a man in those days plucked off his shoes and gave it to his neighbor. It signified the transferring of ownership and property. Boaz now owned all that was Elimelech's, Mahlon's, and Chilion's, along with Naomi and Ruth. So Boaz took Ruth to his wife. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare him a son. Naomi took care of the child. His name was Obed. Now, as we look at the lineage of Naomi, Ruth bare this son, and his name was Obed. Obed later fathered Jesse, who fathered David. This made Obed the paternal grandfather of King David. Ruth, the Moabitish woman, was the great-grandmother of David, and some 1,100 years later, a direct descendant of Jesus Christ. Jesus was sometimes referred to as the son of David. While not mentioned in the book of Ruth, but also in the book of Matthew in the first chapter, if we were to look back, we'd also see that Boaz, his mother, is also mentioned. Boaz's mother was Rahab the harlot that protected the Hebrew spies in Jericho. So she was the great-great-grandmother of David. And I think about these ladies that are in this story that we've studied tonight. They're great women of faith. While Ruth was a loving mother, she was one that was loyal and trustworthy to her mother-in-law. I'm thankful that there is a place in the scriptures that tell us that she had a great desire for, "Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." I believe tonight that not only was Ruth's picture of faith highlighted in this book, but I can't see Ruth without seeing Naomi. And I believe every one of us tonight, when we get saved by the grace of God, we know the Lord saves us. He has to do that work. But you know, tonight, we didn't get saved on our own. There was someone that's in the background, somebody that prayed for us, somebody preached to us, somebody testified, somebody was concerned about us. And I'm glad tonight when we look at these different women of faith that we not only see Ruth, but we also see Naomi, and we also see Rahab. You know, a lot of the trouble that was in Jesus' day was from the Israelites. And I remember that one of the admonishments was, say not to yourselves that you have Abraham for your father, for God's able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. You know, there was a time when the Hebrew children were a little bit too proud of their bloodly lineage and heritage, and they put that above serving God in spirit and in truth. And we look back in the lineage of the Lord, and we find this Moabite woman by the name of Ruth, and we find Rahab. And I'm glad tonight that God is no respecter of persons. I'm thankful tonight that the Lord will save each one that comes to Him on the terms of the gospel. I've enjoyed studying the book of Ruth, and I'm thankful that I had this opportunity. And at this time, we're going to turn the service back over to Brother Miller.